I mean, it's the opposite, actually, of this year's. They had a brutal August. You know, one of the funny things about next year's schedule is they've got 4 days off in an 11-day span, which will kind of present its own challenges for the Red Sox, you know, in terms of a starting rotation and guys perhaps getting too much rest or guys getting skipped. You know, that'll be something they'll have to manage. You know, the funny thing about the baseball schedule is, like, it's always kind of the same. I guess the highlight is the Cubs coming to Fenway Park next April, near the end of April. So, you know, that's always an exciting one. You know, the travel schedule is mostly the NL Central. That's the interleague partner. They've got Pittsburgh coming to start next season. Opening day is at Fenway Park. So if you're concerned about this year's opening day rainout/snowout, in Cleveland, you might have that at Fenway Park this year. But the nice thing is for the Red Sox, if that does get rained out, at least they're making up a home game, not a road game.
And the Cup Series will be even better after the two teams meet in the World Series this year, right?
It's hard not to look at that and sort of think about that possibility, yes. But, I mean, either way, you know, obviously it's still going to be a very loaded Cubs team, and you would expect to be a good Red Sox team as well. So that should be a really good series.
On the field, a rough outing last night for Drew Pomeranz, his shortest start of the season. Did they give him too much rest? Is that the problem?
I do wonder that he's had trouble when his routine has been disrupted. That first start with the Red Sox, you know, there was a lot going on. New team, you know, flight across the country to join them, just got traded, then I think hadn't pitched in 12 days except for a one-inning stint in the All-Star game, and he didn't pitch very well. So they give him 2 extra days. They're trying to manage his workload. And, yeah, you do kind of wonder if that messed with him overall, if he needed to stay on that 5-day, you know, that 5-day routine. You know, there's a danger in making too much out of one bad start because he's been pretty effective for them overall. But I do wonder, yeah, now they start keeping him on every 5 days. I mean, they kind of have to. They don't have off days left until, you know, the end of the season. But, you know, at this point, it does make sense to keep him on his routine because it seems like he does pitch better when he's just on every 5 days.
Well, overall, really go back to the All-Star break. The rotation has solidified itself. It's been pretty tough. Still an outside shot. This team could have 220 game winners. The concern of late has been the bullpen. But now here in the month of September, they've been lights out, too. Is there any hope? No, they're not going to go without giving up an earned run this month. But do they have the guys and the depth to continue to be a good thing and not something to worry about for Red Sox fans?
It does seem like with the expanded rosters, they have some depth now. It seemed like through the month of August, before rosters expanded, they didn't want to cut bait with Junichi Tozawa, and they didn't want to use or cut bait with Fernando Abad, who really was pretty ineffective early on in his Red Sox career. So they were kind of operating two guys short. They just didn't have enough guys to pitch those middle innings in front of Craig Kimbrell. Now they have those guys. They were able to get Heath Hembree back. They were able to get Joe Kelly up here. And additions like that, it seems like, have really helped them kind of lengthen out the bullpen. Even on nights like last night, and certainly in that game in Toronto on Sunday, you know, where they really needed the bullpen to come through in a big way to win that game, and it did. And, you know, some of these guys fit better into roles. Now that Koji Uehara is back as well, that's a big lift. And instead of having Brad Ziegler be the eighth-inning guy that John Farrell didn't really feel comfortable with, Koji Uehara is the eighth-inning guy, and Ziegler can be used, targeted against lineups of righties the way he was in that game in Toronto. So the whole thing sort of fits better. Now, should the Red Sox get to the playoffs, you know, John Farrell's going to have some tough decisions to make. Like, does he carry Junichi Tozawa, a guy he doesn't trust, a guy who helped pitch them to a World Series title 3 years ago, but Farrell really can't trust now? Does he make a roster or not? Probably not. You know, maybe guys like Kelly or Hembree are better candidates for that. But yeah, the unit works better now that they've just got more arms in it.
We're talking with Brian McPherson of the Providence Journal. It's a tight race, four teams, all within 4 games. Brian, which of those other 3 teams do you think poses the biggest threat to the Red Sox?
In terms of, it's still got to be Toronto, I think. There's danger in looking too much at recent run of play. Like, sometimes teams go through ups and downs, and we saw it with the Red Sox. They didn't play well for a while, and now they're playing very well. And it just still seems like Toronto's the most dangerous team. You know, Baltimore's starting rotation doesn't look like the sort of group that's going to keep them in enough games the way we saw the other night when Miley got blown out early. Toronto, I think, is still 2 games back, is still, you know, the most dangerous team to swoop in and swipe the division away.
Do you see any scenario where this thing is decided prior to that final weekend series with the Blue Jays?
I mean, it's possible. The Red Sox do have a little bit of breathing room. You know, 2 games is not a ton. 2 days, 2 games can go away in 2 days, but with as little time as has left, you know, it is significant breathing room. And, you know, if the Red Sox go on a little run and Toronto fades a little bit and the Red Sox have a good series in Baltimore next week, like, all of a sudden it does open up. It's not likely, and you know, kind of as a, if you're looking at it neutrally, you know, the fact that Toronto's coming to Boston the last weekend of the season, like how wonderful would it be if they went in tied to that final series, and then whoever took 2 out of 3 wins the division, like that would be a phenomenal weekend of baseball. But if you're just looking at the Red Sox in terms of getting to the playoffs, you know, they do have an opportunity to spread this thing out before that.
And of course, it would be in their own best interest to at least wrap it up before that final game so they don't have to use David Price in game number 162.
Right, yeah, to be able to line up Price and Porcello, I mean, they have a nice ball back that the way it's lined up, that Price could pitch game 162, and then you still have 20-game winner Rick Porcello pitching in either a wild card game or game one of the division series. But yeah, you'd much rather have be able to line it up Price, Porcello, and then whoever else you want coming after that, Rodriguez, Pomerantz, Buchholz kind of being in the mix there. That to be able to pitch Price and Porcello in potentially 4 of the 5 games of the division series really puts them in a good position.
Well, it's great to be talking about a pennant race and a drive for the playoffs here with 2 weeks to go in the month of September. Brian, as you look back on this season, and they've had so many offensive contributors, plus the year that Porcello's had, who to you has been the biggest surprise, the most pleasant surprise on this roster?
Most pleasant surprise. I mean, the thing is, so much of this, I mean, it's got to be Porcello, I guess, in terms of surprise, given what he was last year. I mean, I don't think anybody could rationally look at his career and assume he was as bad as he was last year. But at the same time, to assume he would win 20 games and be in a Cy Young conversation, I think is beyond anybody's expectations. A lot of these younger guys, young hitters, like, you know, Mookie Betts wasn't a potential top 3 MVP finisher last year, but we all saw that he was really good. You know, we all saw that he was blossoming into a potential star. You know, Jackie Bradley had that sensational August last year that at least kind of gave you a sense that he had that in him. Xander Bogaerts, we all knew, was blossoming into a really good player. Now, Hanley Ramirez has been better than I think people expected had they written off Hanley Ramirez, but he's also done this before in his career. Whereas Rick Porcello, I think, this is the best he's ever pitched in his career. And I think had he gotten back to his career norms, the Red Sox would have been thrilled, but he's beyond that at this point.
Brian McPherson writes about the Red Sox and does a wonderful job at it for the Providence Journal. Always great to talk with you, Brian. Thanks as always, and we'll do it again before too long.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Rick.